In the late 1960s, there was a groundswell of environmental activism, as waterways were polluted and the air was unhealthy to breathe. Even the nation's symbol, the bald eagle, faced extinction. So in 1970, former Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson established Earth Day. But there were lots of people involved in creating the day that celebrates the Earth and invites others to think about the environment. One of them was Barbara Alexander. She was on a team of five people who coordinated the first Earth Day. Here she is speaking with WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Benz about how it all happened.
Well, I was in Washington, D.C. I had worked as a volunteer, a very young volunteer, in the Robert F. Kennedy campaign. I was part of a group who were hauled across the country from Indiana to Oregon to California to organize events and organize house-to-house canvassing, which was a new thing at that time for elections. After that horrendous summer of 68, I went to DC and I ended up working at the Conservation Foundation, which is a fancy, fairly wealthy nonprofit who had done a lot in the conservation field and was starting to hire some people to talk about the environment, the urban environment, the pollution environment, and not just conservation of wildlife as such. And when it was decided that a group would be formed to actually organize an Earth Day event, the people who were hired first, Dennis Hayes, Steve Cotton, Andy Garling, then took ideas from others in the DC area. And my name popped up and I walked right over. So
that would have been 1969?
Yes,
yeah.
It was.
Wow. So talk about that brainstorming. What was in the air then?
Well, the 1969 was a time of public angst about the war. And a lot of young people were getting involved in policy and public policy. And we were the coming of age generation who took upon ourselves to tell the old folks what should be done and how to do it, right? Just like the young ones today are doing to us. But anyway, the environmental movement was on the cusp of having a breakout in terms of public involvement. The pollution in the air and water was absolutely horrendous. And so there were beginning to be rumblings about the need for more national pollution control and more national action. And so the time was ripe to talk about the idea of celebrating the earth and talking about the environment generally. So the first thing this office did was form its own organizational structure, its own fundraising, and we changed our name to Environmental Action and organized in the sense that we rode the wave of the idea of Earth Day, which took off like wildfire.
So Barbara, was Gaylord Nelson on the scene, meaning were you interacting with him over that time or you were going for it?
I had no interaction with him or his office, but I'm quite sure that the initial hirees, Dennis Hayes and others, certainly communicated with him in his office. But I have to say that the entire organizational approach, our PR, our fundraising was all done independently of that in pretty short order.
Had to be exciting times, I would think, feeling that you're really making something happen.
Well, you know, part of the way in which this happened is something that is totally unlike the current social media scene. This was a time in which the national press really was the national press at the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Baltimore Sun, and the CBS, NBC, ABC, national networks. And when they took on this issue of talking about Earth Day, promoting the stories about Earth Day, doing research and writing about the environment and what was going on with pollution, air and water in particular, that just spread like wildfire because that was the only way that the national news was circulated. So Walter Cronkite and ABC and CBS all had national press assigned to this story pretty early on. Of course, the college groups and the citywide organizations of Earth Day activities was carefully coordinated and promoted by our office, but the expansive activities by grade school kids and high school kids and many college groups just happens, and all we did was gather information and report it, frankly, on little note cards. We had the phone number of all these activists, and that made a big difference for the next phase after Earth Day.
Well, let's talk about the next phase.
Well, after Earth Day, a number of the staffers went on to other things in their life. Not me. I was hot to trot. I really wanted to get involved in the legislative side of this, to actually implement changes to the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act. And Nader's office, Citizen Action, was doing a lot of research and writing on both those things at that time and identifying all the defects in the current federal law. And we had Senator Ed Muskie, who was the head of the Senate committee, in charge of writing both those laws. So the combination was an incredible opportunity. We got out in front. I helped organize a coalition of traditional conservation organizations, all the new environmental groups, and the unions, the League of Women Voters, which was very active, UAW, steelworkers, oil, chemical, and atomic workers. All of these organizations supported very stringent federal law to reduce pollution out of factories and cars into the air and the water. And that opportunity used all the excitement about Earth Day to make a political event that the industry really could not, was not yet organized in the grassroots way we were, because we had all those telephone numbers. We had contacts with all those local organizations. And believe me, they lobbied like crazy and had a significant impact on the entire political process at that time. So everything came together in a very, very serendipitous way. But that was what I did for several years after Earth Day.
So how long would you say that wave, the movement rode that way, the work of making environmental policy a reality? How long did that surge?
Oh, well, that surged quite a bit because it was during this era that the Environmental Protection Agency was formed. Even Nixon got on board with a lot of this reform, and the Republicans and some of the more conservative Democrats just got rode right over. The Clean Water Act, a couple years after the Clean Air Act, was an example of that. Now, the implementation of all of those laws ended up, as it always does, with the special interests trying to capture the bureaucracy writing the rules, right? But then along came the Natural Resources Defense Council and Environmental Defense Fund, and all these lawyers came out of the woodwork to file lawsuits and demand that the language of the law be implemented properly, and they won a lot of those lawsuits. So it was a very interesting time and a very positive time for progress that you could actually point to. If I show people today what the Potomac looked like, what the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland looked like, what the air pollution over our major cities looked like or smelled like, and the really incredible progress in clean air and water we've enjoyed in this country, I can feel very comfortable saying that we won that fight big time. So it was good.
Do you see any possibility that the kind of energies, talent, and those various forces, or the forces of today, might come together to push for policy that would push back on climate change?
Well, there's a couple real differences between the debates we were having then. One is the way social media has allowed misinformation and downright conspiracy theories to really confuse a lot of people and lead them in directions of lack of understanding and lack of commitment to an issue like this. But I tell you, their really big issue here is that climate change is not going to get solved by a law directing a factory to do something different. The reforms that are being promoted here demand that people do something with their own money to invest in something that they may or may not be able to afford or think it's their responsibility. If you want to clean up transportation, we can make the buses run clean, but unless people buy electric vehicles and feel they have a stake in the value of doing that, that's a very different proposition than passing a law to tell a competitive business that it has to include the cost of pollution control in its products and services. So dealing with people's wants and fears and desires about how they want to spend their own money is something that I don't think the movement has really come to grips with.
Barbara Alexander was one of the organizers behind the first Earth Day. She was the only woman on the team, and she spoke with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Benz. You'll hear more Earth Week stories this week on Lake Effect, including a story on how kids can get involved in birding.